the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Hi. Rawr. That was fun. So, hi, good morning, great to see you. Anytime I get to be at the front, I'm always really excited to say this is the best thing you could be doing with your day. You're choosing to worship God, and it is just such a cool choice to make. So congratulations, first of all. My name's John, I'm a member of this church, I'm also the youth worker here, and I'm going to try and follow that. But also, repeat a lot of what Vivian has said, which is useful, great. But before I start talking, I'd like to give us an opportunity to talk because we've done good listening, well done. So on your tables, I would like you to think about what is the most memorable thing about you? What would you like to be remembered for? Now, this is not a very English thing, I appreciate. So I'm going to give you a solid chunk of time to talk about this and genuinely say, this is what I would like to be remembered for, or this is what I think people remember about me. Go. Okay, I will bring us back together there. Just finished sharing that last wonderful story, I'm sure. Now, I'm sorry if I've made you feel really uncomfortable there. I appreciate that is not the sort of thing that we do usually. It's not very humble. It's not very English of us. But I thought it was an interesting thing. And people remember really weird things about us. I don't know if you shared weird things, if you shared character things, I don't know. But I find that people remember really strange things about you. Part of my job is I go into schools in Exeter and do assemblies. And about 6-7 years ago, I did an assembly at St. Peter's, which is a local school here, which many of you will know. And it was about bananas. Now, some of you here might remember the bananas assembly. Now, the bananas assembly, straight away, there we go. Now, the point of the bananas assembly was something to do with sin. I'm not 100% sure if I remember the exact points. But basically, I kept saying, look, we are all bananas. We are all bananas. We are all bananas. And for the next 5 or 6 years, any time I would go to St. Peter's and walk around the playground, people would come up to me and go, hey, banana man, when are you going to talk about bananas again? Now, we remember Alex and his donuts. Please, this morning, do not remember John and his bananas. This is not what the point of this preach is about. But we are remembered for strange things, different things. And I think that brings us to Daniel. Now, we've been looking at Daniel. We've been studying Daniel for the whole of August, okay? And it might be that you've been sitting there every week going, come on, when are we getting there? When are we getting there? Because maybe you're like a big Bible brain and you think about Daniel and you think about vegetables. Or maybe you're a big Bible brain and you think about dreams. Or you're a really big Bible brain and you think about really weird prophecies that we're not looking at this month for a reason. But I think most of us have been sitting there every week going, when are we getting to the lions? We want to talk about the lions. It's understandable. Every single slide has subliminally had lions on it for the entirety of every single preach. Lions are the thing, aren't they? That's what Daniel is. That's who he is. We think about Daniel, and what does he remember for? I wasn't eaten by lions. That's a cool story. Like, you go into a pub or to, you know, your friendship group and say, hey, what did you do last week? Well, I wasn't eaten by lions. Okay, you win. You are the most memorable person. But that is not what we remember Daniel for. Okay, that is not the thing. And Fiona's done a really good job of highlighting this story this morning about how, about what Daniel was doing and about what we really need to focus on and really need to remember. Because here's the thing, right? If you think about that story, if you think about where Daniel is before the lion's den, let's do like part A, because I think part A is the really important part of this story. Daniel is living a decent life. He's working hard. He's doing his best. And what he finds is people are being toxic and niggly and like sniping and gossiping and working behind his back. And that feels quite relatable. Lions may be less relatable, but that feels quite relatable. Sometimes life can just be really irritating and grinding and frustrating. And you know, the Bible's full of people writing really frustrated letters to God, and I wouldn't begrudge Daniel writing one of those really frustrating letters to God. But he doesn't. He does something else. We're going to look at two very key verses from the passage that we just read. If you want to follow along, just to remind you, in the International Children's Bible, it's page 1019. But verse 10 and 11 say, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he'd done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. And the other verse I want to say is at the end. Okay, so this is like end part B. My God sent his angel. He shut the mouths of the lions. They've not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found him because he had trusted in his God. There's two things that are going on there, right? First of all, I'm going forward way too many, sorry. Ignore all of that for a second, we'll get to that. Thank you. First of all, Daniel doesn't pray when he's in the lion's den. Now, my Sunday school brain pictures Daniel on his knees praying. But actually, the story doesn't say that. The story says Daniel sat there and he slept and he was fine. Daniel did his praying way before. Daniel did his praying when he was really frustrated with the world around him, with the people that were sniping him, with the little niggly, annoying, frustrating bits that wind you up in life. And he took them to God. And he took them to God with a grateful, gracious heart. He said, thank you for the stuff that you are doing. Here's the stuff that I could do with help with. That's amazing. Now, I'm presuming Daniel prayed in the lion's den as well. But it specifically says that he prayed before he got there. It says he did all of his praying in his quiet room on his own, way before he knew the danger that he might be in. He shared with God the bits of life. And then when he's released, if it were me, I'd definitely have an I told you so. I might even be a little bit vengeful and a bit bitter that I'd been thrown innocently to my death. But he isn't that. He just says, well, it's God, isn't it? God did that. And actually, it's not about Daniel surviving the lions. It's about God and God being glorified. Because what we then see is that the king sends out this statement throughout the whole land that says, actually, God is to be glorified. God is to be revered. God is to be honored. Nothing about Daniel. It's about God. When we think of Daniel, we might think of the lions. But I think the thing to remember is actually, Daniel is a man who had a relationship with God that existed in the everyday. It existed in the boring, the frustrating, the upsetting, the worrying, the stressful. The stuff that I think we all deal with. That's where Daniel's relationship with God really flourished and really, really was set up. But here's the thing. We are not Danites, hence PowerPoint. we are Christians, okay? We're not following Daniel this morning, we're following Jesus. And what about Jesus? Well, Jesus is exactly the same. Jesus did exactly the same thing. Now, I've got a Bible with post-its in, so hopefully this will work better for me. Feel free to try and keep up, but we're going to quickly whiz through some Gospels because I want to prove to you that this is who Jesus was and what he did. So, firstly, oh, also that might be too small to read, but there you go. Mark chapter 1, verse 12. The Spirit sent Jesus into the desert alone. He was in the desert 40 days and he was there with wild animals. While he was in the desert, he was tempted by Satan. Then angels came and took care of Jesus. He was alone and they took care of him. Verse 35 in chapter 1. Early the next morning, Jesus woke and left the house while it was still dark. He went to a place to be alone and pray. Matthew 6. When you pray, you should go into your room and close the door. Then pray to your Father who cannot be seen. Your Father can see what is done in secret and he will reward you. Matthew 14. When Jesus heard what had happened to John, Jesus left in a boat. He went to a lonely place by himself, and when the crowds heard about it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And then if you flip the page over to verse 23, after he said goodbye to them, he went alone up into the hills to pray. It was late, and Jesus was there alone. Keep going. This post-it. Luke chapter 5. Jesus often slipped away to other places to be alone so that he could pray. And Luke chapter 6. At that time, Jesus went off to a mountain to pray. He stayed there all night praying to God. This is who Jesus was. This is what he did. He took time to pray about the stuff that annoyed him and frustrated him and wound him up. The more I read of Jesus, the more I see a very, very emotional person, a very relatable person. Jesus knew the direction his life was going in right away. He knew what was going to happen to him ultimately, but he knew that it was God's strength and power that would bring glory through that life. And he knew that the only way he would get to there is by that foundational relationship of taking time with the small things, the everyday things, the frustrations with his friends, with the people he was working with, the things that annoyed him and he struggled with, that he went back to God and said, I need to come back to you. I need to give this to you. I need help from you. I need blessings from you. And that's where we're stopping. What's the most memorable thing about you? Do we want to be known? Do we want to be remembered for the lives that we lead, for the things that we do, for what we achieve, for our legacy, for our family? Or do we want to be remembered for who helps us do those things? Do we want our lives to glorify something bigger and someone bigger? Because I think that's really exciting, actually, to be known as a person whose life glorified God. In fact, not to be known as a person, to just glorify God through our lives and have God be known more. And here's the really interesting thing. It's not actually that hard. We're not called to be amazing, wonderful, perfect people. We're called to give things to God, to trust him, to share with him in the small, to be honest in the hurt, and then to let him deal with the big stuff and to trust that he will be glorified through our lives in the small and the big. I'm going to pray and then we're going to continue worship. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your example. Thank you that you show us day in and day out, if we take that time to come to you with the things that just niggle and annoy and frustrate us, you will meet that. You will meet that with blessing and with love. Lord, help us to be people that live lives that glorify you. Help us to work for your kingdom's sake and for your glory's sake, not for our own reputation. And give us, just give us a confidence in the promises and the blessings through the testimony of Daniel, of Jesus, of friends that we know, where you change lives, where you meet people in hard places, and your name is glorified, your kingdom is built. Amen.